Welcome to a podcast from Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
We're going to look at a couple of passages in Luke's gospel this morning. Passage in the middle of Luke 1, just before Mary's prayer there at the end, and then the beginning part of Luke chapter 2. Very familiar passages. And because they're so familiar, it's easy to skip over them, sort of kind of read them and miss the message. But we want to try to come to the scriptures afresh this morning and really listen and hear what God's saying. So I'm going to start to read in Luke 1, verse 26. We're going to put the message on the screen, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, remember we looked at Zechariah last week, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed. I love that description. Confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. And he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." And then Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Nobody sweats in nativity scenes and birthday cards. Ever notice that? In all the Christmas card scenes you've seen, all the people look clean and sharp. And in Christmas cards, the stables all glow. And it's a very unusual phenomenon, but you see it in Christmas cards all over the place. In Christmas cards, you have animals who are standing perfectly still in silent contemplation. In Christmas card and nativity scenes, the hay never prickles. It's always soft for baby Jesus. That's a Christmas card stable. It's not a real thing. Real stables are filled with animals that move around. I don't mind a cow at 10 meters, but if I'm carrying a baby, I don't want to be close to them when they start moving around and coming close. Have you ever tried keeping a goat away from anything? It wants to get there and wants to eat it. It's not an easy thing to deal with. And stables and barns, they've got insects, flies. Who delight in getting off where they are, getting onto me. That's a real stable. And Christmas card stables are so different, aren't they? Mary gave birth in a real stable. And I don't think that's what she expected. And so as we read this passage of Scripture this morning, it's a very familiar passage. And this conversation that takes place between Mary and the angel is familiar to us because we've heard it. We hear it every Christmas. But for Mary, it was the start of something so unexpected, an unexpected journey. And I want to take us along that journey a little bit this morning. See, because God always begins with the unexpected. According to Luke, Mary's a young woman, and right at the start of this Christmas story, God's doing something quite unexpected. He uses a teenage girl. Probably somebody in early high school, in grade 9 or 10. He's about ready to fulfill all the promises of the Old Testament. He's about to launch the most fundamental turning point in human history. He's about to save the world. And he uses somebody who's not old enough to get their driver's license. That's unexpected. God works through Mary, a perfectly powerless person, because Mary, after all, is a woman. And first century women did not have legal status. They didn't count for much. On top of that, she's a child and doesn't count for much even within her family in terms of status or power. And God comes to Mary and said, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. I'm looking for a response from you. God doesn't say, go ask your dad for permission. That's unexpected. God's not working through, quote, proper channels. He doesn't say, go to your fiancé and see how this is going to work out. No, God's working with a 13, 14, 15-year-old teenager and says, I am about to change the world. Will you go with me? Mary's response in verse 38, I'm the Lord's servant. Be it to me as you've said. We've got to take 20 centuries of distance and all the tinsel and gift bows off that moment. You know, it's so easy to imagine that scene with folded hands and the nice, quiet pictures we see in Christmas card scenes. But this is a real decision, a tough decision. God's ways are not our ways, and God's doing the unexpected here. He's asking Mary for a huge, huge request. She's going to be pregnant, unexpectedly. Unexplainably pregnant. What's her family going to say? What's Joseph going to say? What's this going to do to the possibility of her getting married? Will she be married? What will the neighbors say? How is this all going to work out? I can imagine her struggling and wrestling. God, you've got big plans. But I've got all these relationships that are important to me, and they're all going to be changed in this moment. What's going to happen to my life? And yet at the end of it all, Mary's willing to put aside her fears and say yes to this incredible message from God. Here in the book of Luke, from the time the message comes from the angel until the time that Jesus is born is just one chapter. But for Mary, it was 9 months. 9 months. 9 months of how things are working out with Joseph. And she goes and talks to Elizabeth. And as we saw a lot last week, Elizabeth's going to understand because she's got a miracle happening in her. She who was barren is now going to give birth to one who we call John the Baptist. Can you imagine her wrestling and struggling and thinking about what's going to happen? And in those 9 months, she's thinking like every mother thinks. What's he going to be like? What's his personality going to be like? She's probably thinking it'd be great to have born close to family, so I've got family support. Maybe even thinking about how she's going to decorate that little corner of the house or make things for Jesus. She's getting ready for Jesus. And then on top of it all, on top of all those normal expectations, this is Messiah, Son of God, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. What's this going to mean? I've got royalty being born in my house. And imagine she's got all sorts of things and pictures running through her mind of what it's going to be like. Fast forward to Luke chapter 2. And I'm absolutely sure this is totally different than anything Mary could have imagined in the 9 months leading up to this. Verse 4 says in Luke 2, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, they had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. You know the scene. We've got the images of Mary sitting on a donkey, except there's no donkey ever mentioned in the story. God, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant with the Messiah. What gives? Why are we taking this long journey? Why are we going there? And while they were there, time came for her baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And she's in that stable scene, and not the nice Christmas card stable scene, but the real stable scene. And I imagine if she's anything like you and I, she's looking around thinking, okay, God, when's the miracle going to happen? When's the guy going to come out and say, there's been a cancellation, there's a room for you in the inn, and we'll all leave and we'll have a wonderful Christmas story. Yeah, but that's not what's happened, is it? It doesn't happen that way. So Mary's in a stable, a real stable, the smelly kind, not the Christmas card kind. She had expectations, but God was doing something entirely different. You know, God warns us that that's going to happen. Prophet Isaiah said, "My thoughts," and he's reflecting God's words, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are beyond anything you could imagine." Again and again in Scripture, we're reminded that God's ways are different than our ways. And, you know, our image is, okay, my plan is we're going to go to that inn and we'll get a nice room, and God's going to intervene and give us the presidential suite. He's going to give us the best room in the place. And God says, "No, my ways are not your ways. Here's a stable. Here's a stable." You know, in our lives, we make plans. We've got expectations. We build a picture in our mind of what God should be doing in our lives. We build a picture in our mind of what God should be doing in our families, of what God should be doing in the areas of ministry that we're involved in, what God should be doing in our jobs. And it very quickly moves into areas of demandingness. And we start to demand of God that He work in a certain way. We start demanding of God that He answer our prayers our way. And we start to pray. We start to pray answers and say, "God, you've got to do this. This is the way you need to work." And then unexpected things happen. And sorrows come. And immediately we start to think, you know, God's not in this. See, why doesn't God care? What did I do wrong? Why did all this collapse? And we immediately suppose that because it hasn't gone in a straight line, because it hasn't gone in the way that we think it should, that God doesn't care, or that God's messed up, or God's disappeared and He's no longer on the scene. But the Christmas story, the Advent story, the story of Jesus tells us that simply isn't true. That even in the most convoluted, unexpected events, God is very present. Very much at work. In this case, to begin to save the world. Now think about Mary's response. You know, again, put the picture in your mind. She's in the stable now. Not the Christmas card stable, but the smelly stables. And then to make it worse, a bunch of smelly, hyperventilating shepherds show up. You know, they're going, "Glory to God, we saw angels in the sky, and they told us to come here." And I don't know about you, but if I was Mary, I'd be thinking, "God, you couldn't put us in a better place, but somehow you could announce to a bunch of smelly shepherds on the hillside where to come and see us? God, you've got things messed up here." It's not the way we would respond. What's Mary do? Look at verse 19 of Luke 2. It says, "Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear, deep within herself." All these incredible, unexpected, totally messed up, totally unusual things are happening. Some are unexpected and painful and absolutely beyond imagining. And she says she takes it all in. She cherishes it. She's thinking, maybe I'll eventually be able to sort this out later. She keeps her ear tuned to God, to what God is saying. She keeps her eyes focused on what God is doing. She keeps her heart open for the next step of responding to God, that next step of obedience. You know, it's so easy to think that if we have faith, then things are going to go in a certain direction. If I've got faith, then everything's going to fall into place. All the pieces are going to come together the way that I think they should. And usually in a nice linear direction. Things are going to work out. Things are going to work out according to my plans. And things are going to work out without heartache, without disappointment, without confusion. But what happens when reality strikes? It's easy to submit. It's easy to obey when things are going our way, because it usually doesn't involve our lives getting changed. But when all those plans that we have get turned on their heads and we start being forced to face something that we've never had to face before, when the unexpected arrives and we've never seen that before. You know, every time I officiate at a wedding, I think about this. Here's a couple ready to get married, and a lot of times they have Christmas card ideas of what marriage will be like. I'm marrying the most wonderful person in the world, and I hope you feel that way when you're getting married. But the fact is, the most wonderful person in the world sometimes isn't much. You know, we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. What happens when illness comes? What happens when debt or conflict arises? What happens in our careers and our family lives? When the unexpected happens? When there's unexpected job loss, or there's unexpected pregnancy, unexpected family illness? And sometimes when those things happen, we struggle. We struggle with our response. We struggle, how do we respond to what God is doing? What about you? How do you respond in unexpected times? Do you submit to God? Do you try to hold on to faith like Mary and continue to listen like Mary did? Or does our faith collapse? And we start thinking that God really doesn't care too much. And we turn our backs on Him. It's a crucial survival skill. Because you're going to have to face this again and again and again. Because Mary had to face it multiple times in her life. Her problems with the leading of God doesn't come to an end at the end of Luke chapter 2. If you flip over to Mark's gospel in Mark 3, Jesus is a growing man. And people starting to say that his ministry is starting to explode. And they're starting to say he's really demon-possessed. He's gone crazy. And Mary gets really concerned about this and anxious about that. And like any good mother, and particularly a good Jewish mother, she tries to intervene. And so she tries to physically take Jesus home so he can get some perspective on his life. And Jesus says to her in Mark 3, "Who's my family?" It's the people who hear and obey the word of God. "Who do you think are my mother and my brothers?" And Jesus looks around at everybody around him and says, "Right here, right in front of you, are my mother and my brothers." Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Mary didn't expect that. She expected her intervention would do more. She expected that Jesus' ministry would be a little bit more respectable, would be a little bit more well-received, and she wouldn't have to put up with that this nonsense of him being seemingly crazy or demon-possessed. Fast forward to John 19, and we're at the cross. There's no way in the world that Mary would have expected that. Does that mean all is lost? Or how is God even at work in the midst of all this? What does it mean for God to be at work in that? It hurts. Can you imagine her pain no matter what? Mary's there at the foot of the cross. That's not the way she planned it. Foot of the cross is where the mother of Christmas morning ends up. The cross is where the child of Christmas morning ends up. You know, reflect on your life. God comes into our lives and you respond. You experience salvation. Experience His forgiveness. And there's an incredible sense that the world is different. Something's changed. And if you became a believer, became a follower of Jesus as an adult, you know just how startling that transformation, that change can be. The whole world is new. But then God doesn't protect us and shelter us like we think He should. And bad things happen. In fact, in January, before we get back to the book of Acts, I want to do we're going to do a short series called Stuff Happens. What happens when suffering happens? What happens when our prayers don't get answered? What happens when we feel so insignificant? What happens when sin overwhelms us? And we're gonna wrestle with some of those are important questions. Those are deep questions. Stuff happens. Why sickness? Why suffering? Why doesn't God respond? Why do I struggle so much? Honest questions that deserve some honest answers. Maybe our plans and our expectations, they get turned on their heads, and God allows that. He allows a dream to die. And a ministry area doesn't work out the way we thought it should. A job is really, really difficult. Illness happens. All kinds of things come up. And the question is, how do we respond? How do we respond to God in the midst of that? How do we respond to God in the midst of the unexpected? And if you're having experiences like that, join the club. You're having a biblical experience. You're having a biblical experience. Life, even life with God, is often harder and more confusing than we ever expected. Let's have our faith meet that challenge. In Acts chapter 1, you knew I'd get to Acts somehow in this series, we find Mary together with the disciples, and they see the resurrected Jesus. Mary got to see the resurrection, the ultimate unexpected event. And at that point, Mary knows without a doubt that it wasn't foolish for her to hold on to faith through all those crazy things that happened. She now knows absolutely for sure that God was present in the midst of all those crazy, unexpected events. And that God was powerful enough to pull all of it together for His good. And the ultimate good of dealing with the messes, with the sin of the world. Her sin, her future, the greatness and goodness of God just displayed there. God was never cold. God was never unconcerned. God was never out of control. And all this accomplished in God's will. And that's not the gold leaf, the pristine, the Christmas card plan, but the gritty, the sweaty reality of God's real plan. And it's that plan that led to the resurrection, the greatest guarantee that God's love is real, that His power is sufficient, that our future is secure. Now, our lives don't look an awful lot like Christmas cards, but that's okay. Because real life never looks like a Christmas card scene. It never has, never will. But it's in real life that we meet the real God. And it's in real life that we see what the real God can do. We may not get all the answers, but we know that in the middle of all the stuff, and all the hardship, and all the difficulty, and all of the stuff that happens, that God's love is real. And we know that His power is sufficient to carry us through, and that we know that our future is secure in Him. Let's pray together. Father, we're all at different places in our lives, different places on that journey through life. There's some here, Lord, who've walked with You for a long time. There's others who've just begun to walk that journey. Maybe there's some here who haven't even begun that journey. But Lord, we all struggle with the fact that there are huge elements in our lives that sometimes seem out of control, that are unexpected. And so, Lord, we commit these to You. And so, Lord, we come on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday just before Christmas, and we want to hold on. Not hold on to stuff. Not hold on to our perspective. Not hold on to ways of looking at things, but hold on to You and listen to You and respond to You and walk with You. And Lord, as we look at the story, the account of Mary, of Joseph, and Zechariah, and Elizabeth, and Jesus, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and all those people in the story, we know that it's not foolish to hold on to You through it all. Because we know that we'll see Your power at work in us. And so, Father, I pray this morning for each one here, that in the midst of the joys and the sorrows, I pray, Lord, for each one here in the midst of all of the expected and the unexpected, in the midst of all of the disappointments and celebrations, in the midst of everything, they would see You and we would respond to You. And we'd open our eyes and our ears to you. And so, Father, we invite you in these next days as we reflect on, as we meditate, as we draw close to that celebration of Christmas Eve. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, this baby who is Lord and Savior, who is King of Kings, who is Messiah. Help us to see you in the midst of all of the unexpected. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.